Episode 172, Hellebass Podcast. Today, Tim Doobie talking about his life-changing decision on whether to accept a Bassmaster Elite Series berth from his runner-up finish at the Lake Hartwell Bass Nation Championship. It's a good episode. Enjoy.
This week, the Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast is brought to you by Arsenal Fishing. Arsenal Fishing offers premium custom-made performance apparel and tackle. Arsenal delivers a wide variety of custom-designed baits, accessories, and tools, along with unique utilitarian apparel for all outdoor enthusiasts. As part of their support, you can use code HELLEBASS15 to save 15% on all purchases at arsenalfishing.com to support the show. Now let's get back to helping you catch more bass and suck less.
Many of us think about what it would be like to fish at the very top level all our lives. And every now and then an amateur angler finds themselves in the position at the Bass Nation Championship. And they find themselves in a position where then in a short order, they're faced with that opportunity. And the question is, are they ready for it to make that leap? And tonight we've got a Bass Nation angler who recently went through that. And we're going to talk about that. And I think he's going to be able to share his where we landed publicly. So this should be an interesting episode tonight of Hellebass Live. Welcome, Tim Doobie. Right, Doobie? Doobie?
Tim? Yeah, Doobie. Sorry. Yep, no worries.
Should have worked that out on the pre-show. But I guess we'll... how do we sound in the chat, everybody? I think everything looks good, sounds good on our end.
But thanks Tim, for having me on, Rich, Doobie, by the way.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to have you on. We tried to connect. This almost happened last week. Schedules changed. But now we finally are back on our normal night. So Hellebass Live, presented by Arsenal Fishing, boosted by Powerhouse Lithium. And Tim Doobie recently fished the Bass Nation Championship. He's from New Hampshire. And he was runner-up to Will Davis Jr. on Hartwell. And that was early October, about a month ago.
Yep, third week of September,
I believe. Third week of September, so just over, so 6 weeks maybe.
No, I'm sorry, it was third week of October. I apologize. Yeah, so it's time flies.
Yeah, it was like about a month ago, not even quite. And so Will defended the champion, so congrats to Will. He's been a former guest, if you guys remember that. And first time ever that the Bass Nation champ defended, and he re-qualified for the Classic and got one of his neighbors in.
Gaston.
Slips my mind. What's that? Gaston.
David.
Yeah. Gaston. David Gaston. But second and third place also go to the Classic. So you knew that, right? Tim Doobie, and then I forget the guy's name from Wisconsin, qualified for the Grand Lake Classic.
Josh Wiesner,
I believe. Josh Wiesner. So congrats. So congratulations right there. Like that's the easy one. Like, get to show up, guaranteed $10,000 check, probably fish a tournament you want to fish your all life.
Since I was about 6 years old, absolutely.
So where were you in the going into day three? What position?
I was in third. So I was like, as long as I don't fall anywhere beyond that.
Right. So you're like, if I stay third, move up a spot, like that was... I think I heard you talk somewhere else. I don't remember. I mean, you were mainly focused on like staying in Classic qualification at that point.
Yep. Stay top three. That was the only goal, was to make the Bassmaster Classic. It's been a goal of mine since I've been 6 years old. And that was the only goal going down there. So could make the Bassmaster Classic. Let's see if we can do that.
And I think the list of New Hampshire Bassmaster qualifiers is pretty short.
I think I'm the fourth. I might be the fifth. I think I'm the fourth.
Okay.
Nice. So it's a pretty exclusive group I joined for New Hampshire.
Yeah, very cool. Well, hopefully some of you guys are, hopefully BTL's wrapped up. You guys have joined in. It's looking good here. So I guess the big thing, and you weren't really focused on this. You weren't really thinking about the Classic. Because you, right? I mean, maybe retell the story of how that went down from your end.
For the classic or?
Yeah, for like, I mean, I think about, you weren't thinking about the elites or the invitation or anything like that. Really wasn't on your mind. It wasn't on your radar. I guess kind of explain how that final day, I mean, I see you were in third place. You were a couple pounds back. Like, set the scenario of going into day three and how it unfolded.
So launching the boat day three, I was an ounce out of the second. So it was, and I think it was 4 ounces behind me. And my marshal and I, great kid, we jived right away. And I told him, I go, you know, there's a lot on the line today, but we're just going to go out. We're going to have fun. This is a 13 boat club tournament. And this is like a Friday nighter. And we're just going to go have fun. And whatever happens, happens. It seems like anytime I get really serious when I fish, it just goes downhill really quickly. So I'm like, we're just going to keep it really light in the boat. And he goes, all right, let's do it. And
yeah, so for people that don't know, the Bass Nation National Championships is a 3-day tournament. It's about 55 anglers or so. Yep. And basically it ends up being the top 10 to 15, depending on some division qualifiers and that kind of stuff. But basically 10, 12, 15 guys go on the third day with 3 classic spots on the line, 1 Elite Series berth. And that's kind of where you were going into day three.
You have 2 opens completely paid for through the whole series on the line as well. But I wasn't thinking about the elites. I wasn't thinking about the opens. The goal to get there is to go to the classic. So we head out, driving through the pouring rain right at first safe light. And I get to the first spot and, I don't know, 5th cast, catch a 4-pound spot, which is very big for that week. It was a very tough week. And everything we said about keeping it light and having fun in the boat went out the window really quickly as soon as that one came into the boat. And it kind of just set the tone for the day. The wind started blowing really bad down there. Worse I've seen it the whole time I was down there. And I saw an island right near where I was fishing. And I go, I'm going to go throw a spinnerbait around that thing. And my marshal's like, let's do it. Because they can't say anything anyway. They can't, he fishes the lake all the time. And we talked after the fact. And I tied on a spinnerbait, which I hadn't caught a fish on the entire week. And went around this island. And by the time I got completely around it, it was like 14 pounds in the boat. Which was good enough all week long to be top 3.
In the mix.
Then just kind of went the whole rest of the day. Never caught plenty of fish the final day, but nothing that ever helped. And I ran in, checked in, and I said to my marshal, I go, you know, I may not have won this thing, but I didn't lose. Like, the other guys had to catch them, which made me feel good. I had no regrets that final day fishing. I just went out, kept the bait wet, put the trolling motor down, just fish new water, stuff that just looked good. And when I pulled in, Will Davis was already sitting there. And he comes right up to me, and we talked a bunch last year, and we became friends. And he goes, did you get him today? I go, I got 14-something. And he goes, if you finish second, they're going to give you the elite spot. And this is while we're out waiting for our boats to get pulled out, because at the national championship, it is Bassmaster is like completely first class. Your boat goes into a yard. They have brand new Tundras that come hook up to your boat. They dump you in the water every single day. All you do is get in the boat. That's the only thing you have to worry about, is like, don't miss the bus to the boatyard and get in the boat. So I was like, I don't think so. I think it's only to first place. I don't think the elite spot drops down. He's like, I think they're going to drop it down if I win. And I asked him, like, oh, well, what do you have? And he goes, I have 15. I'm like, you just went back to back. And so they start pulling the boats out, and I was in third. So I was the third to last one to weigh in on the final day. And I'm watching the weights, and all the weights were down on the final day. It was like 8 pounds, 7 pounds, 9 pounds. A big bag was like 11 and a half. And next thing I know, I'm second, two boats away from weighing in. the two in front of me doesn't have it. The guy in front of me, I'm like, I'm talking to Emily Hand, who is one of the Bass tournament organizers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if he doesn't have 15, I'm going to the Classic. And it was just kind of like a surreal experience at that point, because it's like, you can't do anything about it anyway. But I'm sitting in the boat in line freaking out, you know, completely off camera, all by myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, like if he doesn't have 15, he weighed 9. And I was like, Emily, I'm going to the Classic. Like, this is a dream. And so we have a little celebration before the boat even went up to the stage, and we go up, and I weighed 14 and a half. Josh came in right behind me, and he did not have 14 and a half. And so it was nice knowing going up to the stage, like you just made the Bassmaster Classic. And then Will came up and smoked me per usual, and went back to back. So again, huge congrats to him. And we got the plaques that, you know, you're going to the classic qualifier. And I walked off the stage, and Chris Bowes walks up to me, who's the vice president of Bassmaster. And he goes, "Hey, Tim, you want to fish the Elite Series?"
Super casual. Like, yeah, no big deal. Just like, do you want to go get a cup of coffee? Do you want to fish the Elite Series? Do you want to?
Hey, you qualified. You want to go? And yeah, that was, I was like, "Wait, are you serious?" And the funny thing about that whole week was we got dinner with Jonathan Carter, who's from Maine, like 2 days before, a day before the tournament. And we talked about that. Like, if you got the Elite Series invite, would you do it? And like, we were sat there and talked the whole time. I'm like, well, you're going to spend $100,000 between entry fees, travel. I go, you can't have a job. I go, it's a lot. And I go, but I don't think you can say no to it. Like, I think it's something you have to try and give it a shot if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told Chris, I go, I need to figure out some logistics, because this is going to be, that's life changing. You know, going to the Classic is amazing. It's going to be probably the biggest tournament I ever fish. But the Classic is a 1 week event. It's not.
You have a week of vacation. You can take a week off.
Like, yes. Yeah, exactly. You can go
there. You're going to get $10,000 just for showing up. It's like an easy decision.
$10,000 just for, don't have to catch a fish. Here's $10,000. And you know, and you can take vacation to get down there before it goes off limits January 1st. And that's doable. That's very doable. And then it's like, all right, we'll throw in nine more weeks. And then that's just for the weeks of the tournaments. That's not for the weeks of pre-practicing before it, because I've only been to 3 of the lakes on the entire schedule. So it was a lot to think about.
And they give you until, so you wrapped up like
October 20th,
and deposits were due November 8th.
November 7th, the first deposit was due. So
it's like not even 2 weeks.
And it took me 2 days to get home from South Carolina. And it was just like the whole ride home. I drive, you know, decently fast within reason. And the whole way home, I think I was doing 65 in the slow lane, just soaking every single minute of it, and like, you really just went and finished second. Like, there's so many good fishermen here. Like, this is absolutely unbelievable. Because it is the best from every single state at that tournament. And it was very, very humbling. Finally having a good event. And
so you'd fished the year before on Pickwick.
Yeah.
Was Pickwick the first one, or you'd been to the nation championship before that?
Pickwick was the first one.
Okay, so you went back to back.
And at Pickwick, I came off of the regional. I won the Northeast regional. So there was a lot of, I wouldn't say pressure, but there was a lot of like, man, I really need to go have a good tournament out here. Mm-hmm. And I was all stressed out the entire week, and it wasn't fun. All I was trying to do was catch fish. I wasn't enjoying the experience like I should have. And then this past year, I enjoyed every minute of it, because with the bass format changes,
yeah,
this was the last year that it was going to be in this format. And of the 58 boats, I believe it was, and, you know, next year it's 250 boats. And that's a completely different tournament in itself. When you put that many boats on a lake, everything's going to fish different. And so I was
it's not going to be the same. There's not going to be 50 guys on a bus. It's not like, you're not every single competitor. You're not like, yeah, I fished three of them. So I understand what you're saying. And part of me likes some of the changes, and part of me is, you know, not super excited with a lot of the changes to Bass Nation, but it's neither here nor there at this part. And I told the guys from Minnesota, like, enjoy this. Like, even the guys that made the regionals, you know, this year, like, enjoy, like, this is the last regional. This is the last, like, they're going to be different. So, like, soak it in.
Yep. And that's what I did this entire year. I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is the last regional in this format. This is the last national in this format. I had a great time. And down in South Carolina, Anderson's, like, a beautiful town. It's a beautiful city. It's a great area. And we just had, I had fun the entire week. And it was like no pressure, just going out fishing, having fun. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, you want to go fish the Elite Series? All right.
So I know we've talked about this with Maddie Wong and Will Davis. They still have a Nation's Best package.
Yes. So
that kind of re-break down what comes with that. It's because I assume you got that with the second place with the invite.
I did. And that's just a fully rigged Nitro to run for a year. And I get $16,000. I could either get the entire, all nine EQs for free, or the Elite Berth with $16,000 in credit.
Which is basically three tournaments.
Three tournaments.
You get a third of your entry fees.
Yep.
And a boat
and
lease?
A boat and a lease. Lease? Nope. No truck. Oh, just the boat. No, truck's gone. That went away two years ago. I know. and the 16 grand comes on out of the last two deposits. So you have to pay all the way till the last two, which I get it, protects Bass. From me taking the first three tournaments for free and then being like, oh, I can't make it. So I understand the reasoning behind it. But yeah, the 16 grand helps a lot. and then it was 14 grand for finishing second down there. So
you got, second place paid 14 grand. Obviously, yep. You had a little bit of entry and expenses that week, but like, so yeah, you're 30. So you basically have two thirds of the entry fees between winnings. And then obviously you can, if you accept the boat, that balances some things out. I don't know if that helps you a ton, but maybe it does.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, we won't quite get to your decision. So your decision's already been made because we talked. It was November 7th. You haven't made a ton of social posts. But we'll get to that here in a little bit. There was one question from Brian here. He wants to know, what spinnerbait and trailer do you fish around that island?
Okay. So I hate throwing spinnerbaits. I bought it at the tackle shop the second day of practice because the wind was blowing. And I said, I'll buy two of these. And it was a 3/4 ounce War Eagle, no trailer. And it was like a silver, and the blades were painted silver as well. That had like fish scales on them. But I think the key was that it was 3/4 ounce. You could throw it 400 miles with the wind. And I was burning it as fast as you could back to the boat.
That's cool. Yeah, actually, I'm not a big spinnerbait guy, but every time I've made the national championship, it seems like the spinnerbait was a big player for me. And I, like up north, a natural like spinnerbait is like the last thing I touch. It's like a swim jig or a chatterbait, sure, but like, but yeah, when on Pickwick, the year that I did had a really good first day, it was on a War Eagle spinnerbait. Down in the Wachita River day one, I had a really good day on spinnerbait. So yeah, it's weird. Like you go down south and those fish like to chase shad and herring and the wind blows, it's just you just pick up a spinnerbait.
Yep.
Just like you read in Bassmaster all those years ago.
and if you slowed it down at all, if you weren't completely burning it, like it was right under the surface making a boil. If you slowed it down, they would just swim away from it.
You'd see them come up and follow it and look at it or turn it. Like
I was watching it on live scope the entire time.
Okay,
like,
sure.
I'd make a cast.
So you'd see the follows come up and then they would just get just
and see how they react and like, oh, that one's swimming really fast for it. It's going to react here. And then by the end of the day, like the spinnerbait was all crooked and banged up. I was trying to fold it back together and make it run right, but it was one of two and the other one wasn't the same color.
So how, I know that the weights weren't super great at Hardwell, kind of kept an eye on it. Were catch and keep, but most people get limits. Was it pretty easy to get a limit? Or was that also kind of tough at times?
I felt like it was easy to catch a limit, but it was very easy to catch a limit of 8.5 pounds.
Yeah.
And I
an 8 pounds found, put you like in 30th every
day. 40, something yes. Like that. Yep. And it was I there Lake Hartwell is full of bass. There are so many fish in that lake, but they are some of the smartest fish I have definitely ever fished for, because they will come up, they'll look at your bait. You know, I did very minimal research going down, and everything says find the cane pile, find the brush pile, you know, 25 to 30 feet, throw a fluke over the top. And after I threw a fluke over the top of 100 cane and brush piles, and I caught one fish doing it, and it was 12 and a half inches, I was like, all right, this is not working.
How did you catch them the first couple days leading up to it?
During the tournament or in practice?
Yep. What did you figure out in practice, and then what did you end up catching them on the first 2 days?
So the first day of practice, it was 1 o'clock, and I had caught 3 fish for 4 pounds. And I was fishing this what everyone says you should do down there, deeper water, fishing for spotted bass. And I was throwing drop shots into the brush piles. I was throwing a shaky head. I threw everything you read about, I threw, and it just wasn't working. So I ate lunch and I started idling towards a point. And as I'm eating lunch, I go, you know, I haven't tried dirt shallow yet. And back home, our smallmouth love to get shallow in the fall. And I went up on top of this point that was long and extended, and I see a blob sitting on the bottom swimming. I threw a drop shot at it, and it didn't even react. Went, all right, didn't like that one. I keep going down, see another fish, throw a shaky head at it. And it went over, swam to it, looked at it, then swam away. Like, all right, well, that was a little bit of a better reaction, but still not great. And then probably another 50 yards, I see another fish, and I open up the rod locker, and there's a jig sitting on top, my jig rod sitting on top. I go, why not? Haven't tried it yet. Doesn't make sense why they should eat it, but let's try it. And I threw a jig at the very first one I saw. It swam off the bottom, swam down, and ate it immediately. And it was a 3.5 pounder. So...
So you doubled your weight for the day in practice on that
with
fish.
One fish. on a jig. And there's no nets either at the regional and the national level for the nation. And I would much rather catch him on 17-pound test with a jig rod than 10 or 8-pound test with a drop shot or shaky head. Just a lot easier to manage. And that was the first fish I caught on a jig, and then it was, I don't know, the next 3 hours until it got dark. I had 16 and a half pounds. And I looked at all the tournament results that night, and I was like, all right, where would that put me? And it was near the top. The ABA championship was right the week before that. The guy who won was on a way different level of class of fish than I was. But I had been second place overall. So then the second day rolled around the practice, and you only get 2.5 days, 3 days of practice. So the second day practice rolls around, and I go to launch at a ramp, and there's like a 60 boat tournament launching there. So I just parked the truck in a spot, and I walk down, and I go, oh, what time's weighing at? And they said 3:30. So I just drove to a different ramp, and I said, all right, well, let's continue this pattern that I figured out yesterday and see what happens. And I had 14 3/4 that day, but I drove over from 7 to 3:30. I drove over to the weigh-in and I watched the weigh-in, and it was 14 1/4 So I was like, all right, so you're saying there's a chance. And then the last day of practice, it was official practice, so it's just a tournament run-through day, and they put us into a three-hour fog delay, ran some new stuff. I never rechecked anything I found because Hartwell, it's a pretty big lake, has a lot of places to fish. So I was just running all new water the entire time, all of practice, and didn't really find anything awesome on the last day, but continued to catch fish here and there with a jig shallow, and it was really good in the morning, and I could catch them till about 9:30, and then from 9:30 till 2:30, I might as well have sat down and just eaten lunch, hung out, because I could not catch them in that time frame. So I started on the day one of the tournament rolls around about 15. And I'm like, man, I bet you there's gonna be so many people up shallow, like no way, no one else didn't find this. So I run down to that point that I started, that I fished the last first day of practice, and on top of the point it was just all flat, and then there was one little divot, and it would go from like 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet, 8 feet, and that would continue on 8 feet. And they were sitting right on that line where it dropped 2 feet. And I think it was the first three fish in the boat were all 3-pounders. And it took 10 minutes to do it. And then it kind of slowed down a little bit. There was one brush pile on top that I had not caught a fish out of, but I saw them in it. And there's a giant blob sitting in the brush pile. I throw a jig in the brush pile. You know what? I'm just going to fish the cast. I'm not going to look at the brush pile. I'm just going to old school.
So bring you targeted it. You lined it up, and then you kind of just turned the.
Yep. Turn the live scope to the left. We're not looking at this. We're just going to fish the cast. And I pop it over a tree branch, and it goes thunk. Set the hook on it, and it was the biggest spot I've ever seen in my life. Granted, we don't have many. We have zero spotted bass in New Hampshire, and I go to boat flip it and snap it off on the boat flip. And my co-angler goes, "You probably shouldn't try and boat flip 5-pounders." I go, "Yeah, you're probably right with that one." And it was like 3 casts later, I catch a 4-pounder, boat flip it. And didn't learn at all, panicked. And then another.
Nobody said bass fishermen are smart.
No. and you know, on that first day, it was like I was super calm. Cool. I felt very calm the whole time until I put the fourth good one in the box. And when I put the fourth one in, I was like, oh man, like this is getting real. Like we're working on a bag here. And, was lucky enough on the final day, on the first day, to I edged Will out by 2 ounces to take the day one lead, which I did not think I was going to.
So what was your day one weight? Was
16.3.
All right.
So good start. And I followed it up by 11 pounds on day two.
And you're like, yeah, back to reality. Like,
yep. Oh, day two, it was just, I was.
3 pounders all turned into 2 pounders, and here we are, right? Like,
oh, no, they were still all there. They just didn't, they were eating weird that day. Like, all the weights on day two were way down, and they would eat the jig, you'd set the hook, you'd have on for a second and a half, and they'd just pop off. And you're like, how does that happen? And that happened all day, and I caught a 3.5 pound. My check-in was 4 o'clock on day two. I caught a 3.5 pounder at 3:48, and I was 10 minutes from the ramp. So, like, last 2 minutes, catch the biggest one I had all day, call out one that was 12 and a quarter inches, and then run back to weigh in with 11 something. So, and then the final day, went out and caught a 4 pounder right away on a jig, and caught the rest on a spinnerbait.
That's awesome. Very cool. How'd your AMs do the first 2 days?
My day one co-angler, he was actually from Massachusetts, Jim. He was in fourth after day one. He had 7 pounds or 8 pounds, which it was catching a fish on that lake out of the back of a boat, not looking at live scope, way more impressive than catching one off the front of the boat. Because it is very targeted cast. There are a lot of fish around, but they're very smart, and you have to make the correct cast, the right approach to it. And it was very, very difficult from the back of the boat. And then my day two co-angler, he was the same co-angler I had on day three at the Potomac River the same year. And so we qualify for nationals together. And then on day two, we had each other again. And he zeroed on day one, but he caught one with me. So he got to bring a fish across the stage.
Cool.
So
awesome. Well, let's, so are you ready to tell us what you decided here in a second?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're gonna have one little spot here from one of our partners. When we come back, Tim's gonna tell us his decision on whether he decided to accept the berth to the Bassmaster Elite Series.
Are you ready to reel in your next home purchase or refinance? Supreme Lending's Dream Team can help guide you through the entire mortgage process, from pre-qualification to closing. We have a wide variety of home loan programs in our tackle box, including down payment assistance and first-time homebuyer options. You can ask Hella Bass. He trusted us to help finance his home. Contact the Dream Team today by searching Supreme Lending Dream Team or click the link below in the description or scan the QR code on your screen.
All right, we are back. Thanks to a little spot from the Dream Team partners. Appreciate that. So when you win the Classic and you get that new man cave with a really big garage, you can contact my buddy Aaron and he'll hook you up with some good interest rates. So
I definitely will, because if that happens, I don't know if I'll live in New Hampshire anymore.
Someplace without ice, potentially.
I love ice fishing, but a more centralized location would be nice.
Gene, they probably can't do it now, but I know the mortgage I got through them was less than 3%, but that was a few years ago. So in all due time, I'm sure they will. All right. So November. So I guess maybe just walk us through, right, your progression. Did you have to reach out? Did you have to talk to the girlfriend, mom or dad, your boss, call some companies? Like, in that 10 days that you had, what was that progression like?
Wow, it was,
and like, when you're driving home, was it like, man, I don't know if I can do this, or was it like, man, I need to figure out a way how to do this? Like, initially,
man,
it was like,
I'm gonna figure out a way to do this. Yeah. After I came off stage, I called my father when I got back to the hotel room, and there's a lot of emotions when you reach a dream, and the dream was going to the Bassmaster Classic, and then a secondary dream, make the Elite Series. And I said, you know, I got invited to Elite Series too. And he goes, well, did you say yes on the spot? And I go, well, it's a lot of money, which it is a lot of money. And he goes, well, we're going to figure it out. And the whole way home, it was, we're going to figure it out. I'm going to figure out a way to do this because it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to get invited to the Elite Series. It's so hard to even get there. You know, you have all the opens qualifiers, guys that travel around the country fishing 9 tournaments against the best fishermen in the country, and every single one of them qualifying that way. And then you have the one nation spot per year coming in and going from, you know, the state qualifying at the state level to just make the regional, then making the regional being the best in your state, and then going to the national and being the top qualifier. It's very difficult, and it's something I don't know would ever happen again. So I've made the first deposit for the Elite Series for 2024.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So now did you secure any partnerships in that 10 days or have any meaningful conversations that helped?
I did.
Okay.
So I talked with Bass Fishing Electronics right on the hat here. Miller Tech Lithium Batteries, Luz and Strike King, Powertron that has the Foresight Live Scope mount, which is a big deal. The Narrow Wealth Group, who does all the finances, and the Dressler Family Dental Practice. So all those companies kind of jumped. I reached out very quickly to them. They all jumped pretty much right on board. Still trying to secure a title sponsor, which is not easy, especially being someone who I just like going fishing. It wasn't about posting on social media. It wasn't about, you know, pushing merchandise and advertisement. It was just put the boat in the water. If I wanted a bait, I went and bought it. I was, you know, self-sponsored. I went to work and then I used my money to fund my fishing. Okay. And that all changes now, where you kind of have to really build your brand and be able to market to companies that, yes, I can help you as much as you're going to help me, if not more.
Pretty cool. Lauren wants to know, are you running the Nitro package or the Phoenix that's behind you?
I'm going to run the Nitro package. So,
are you keeping your Phoenix?
I am. Are you gonna I am for the first year, at least. We'll see year two, because you're guaranteed 2 years on the Elites. Which was another thing. It's like, if, like, I have no idea if I can go fish with those guys, but I'm going to go have fun doing it. And if 2 years I come back to New Hampshire, it's, you know, well, that was a life story that will never, no one can ever take away from me. That's something fun. And it's, you know, one of those life experiences.
So, I don't know. Are you aware of the Jacob Fouts video that came out in the last couple of weeks?
I think everyone in the fishing industry is aware of that video. And
I don't know if that's too soon or not, Gene, but hopefully you're set up better than Jacob. A lot of people in the chat, very happy, excited. I assume this is the Dressler that was mentioned.
Yes, that's my sister.
And is that your dad, Tom?
That's my father, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, very cool. So you have a job now, or you did, like, so what did you do to self-fund coming up to this point?
I worked at Dick's Sporting Goods.
All right.
And I worked out back. I did all the online orders, and they treated me very well there, and I had a ton of vacation time. So it allowed me to go fish and practice and do all sorts of fun things. And I did reach out to them for sponsorships, and we're talking, but nothing has been set yet, which would be super cool. But my time there has come to an end in will come to an end in 3 days.
Okay. Wow.
So
so it's not going to be coming back and working shifts or trying to none of that.
No. Basically, I leave the second week of December, drive over to Grand because Grand goes off limits January 1st. So go spend some time down there and then home for Christmas, home for New Year's, and then just start going to all these places I haven't been. Toledo, Bend,
Toledo.
Yep. Toledo, Fork, because those are back to back weeks. So you need to get there, you know. 28 day off limits.
So when do you get to pick up the nitro?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Did they have it sitting there?
Nope. Okay, no, so it's like
because I was at the one that Matty Wong won, and mm-hmm. they had the Ranger that he fished out of sitting. Like when we walked into the meeting on whatever Tuesday night or whatever that night is, the boat was sitting there when we walked in.
Yeah,
he didn't pick it up then, but like it was sitting there. So
this is not sitting there. This was not there. Yeah. They said January. They didn't give me a date yet. It's still very
classic. Pre-practice will be out of the bird.
Yep.
And then yep, at some point, you're hoping you can make that smooth transition
as to coming so back. Pre-practice yeah.
out of the rig that you'll be fishing the tournaments out of, right?
Yes, and. I know it's on the nitro as far as like graphs and electronics and stuff like that, but need to.
There's more stuff you probably need and want.
Need to get the boat, bring it back to New Hampshire to get rigged at Bass Fishing Electronics, and then bring it back from New Hampshire back down to wherever I'm going at that time, which would be Toledo Bend. So it'd be like pick the boat up in Alabama, which is 18 hours from me. Drive back to New Hampshire, get it rigged, and then drive to Toledo.
Which there's, if you don't get it early enough, you're not going to have time to do it for pre-practice. You'll have yeah. to do it during the pre-practice break.
Yes.
Which means you'll be driving back and forth to Texas twice then.
Yes. But one of my good friends, it kind of worked, this whole year kind of worked out perfect. One of my good friends just moved to Kentucky. And he goes, yep, you can stay with me anytime. You can leave your boat here if you need. So I have a great middle stopping point. Very centralized.
That's a bigger perk than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, just from fishing some regional stuff and having friends that are in different parts of the country. And it's trying to figure out a place to stay, a place to sleep. Where can I stop? Because I don't think anybody likes being in a truck for about over 12 hours. That's usually my breaking point of like, all right, I'm ready to get out of this thing.
But it's already cost you a fortune. So like if you can skip $150 hotel nights from time to time, that goes a long ways.
Yeah. And it's good having great friends all around the country. So.
Critical Gravy wants to know who pays for the boat ramp.
Boat wrap. It may come wrapped. It may not come wrapped. Two different answers out there. If it's not wrapped, I'm paying for the boat wrap.
Hopefully that's like a base wrap, right? And then you can add, you know, because they like if you take part of taking the nation's best package, right, is there's a certain design element or base wrap that you have to accept, I think.
On the back quarter of the boat has to have, Bass Nation's best on it.
Yeah.
And a logo cannot be bigger than that one.
Jay Zimmy wants to know, is there a stop? I mean, I think the classic is probably the one you're most excited for. But I guess from the Elite Series schedule, is there one that stands out to you or that you've got some experience or you're maybe just want to fish because you've always wanted to fish there? Or...
One that I've always just wanted to fish, Murray. Big largemouth, clean water, pressured largemouth, very tough to catch, and that is New Hampshire in a nutshell. But probably the one I'm most excited for, either Champlain or Thousand Islands. I go to Champlain 4 or 5 times a year. I go to Thousand Islands 2 times a year. So very comfortable. I'll be very comfortable in both of those places. where I feel like I have more time on the water than some of these guys I'm going to be competing against.
So for those that play Drain the Lake Fantasy Fishing, and you're looking for a sneaky somebody to hold on late in the year, right? Maybe Tim's your guy, or if you just want to have a little bit of a dark horse, you know, maybe he's not a dark horse. Maybe he's rocking and rolling by then and he's a favorite, you know, but so there's your fantasy fishing insider tips for those for next year. Mike says, hell yeah. Psyched for you, dude.
Thanks, Mike.
Let's see here. Lauren says, also, do you have any buddies, anybody you know on the elites? Like, do you know any of the guys from Northeast or any friends that you are talking about traveling with or buddying up, or is it all solo? Or
right now it's all solo. I only know two people on the elites, and that would be Tyler Williams from Maine and then Will Davis. Those are my only Elite Series friends. Pretty exclusive club, so don't really know many people in it.
You'll get to know them fast, hopefully.
Hopefully. Absolutely.
And I guess, so if people wanted to get a hold of you, right? If people are marketing partnerships, right? Facebook, Instagram, like what?
Yep. So Facebook and Instagram right now. I'm going to have a website built.
What, Tim Doobie Fishing, all those?
Yep. Tim Doobie or Timothy Doobie. I think it's Timothy for Facebook. But Tim Doobie Fishing, and you'll see my mug up there. So,
yeah. And for those people watching, if you want to support anglers, like going on their socials and just giving them a follow, a like, or any of that kind of stuff goes a long way. It helps them pump that numbers up. So when they're having negotiations and talking with people, it goes a long way. So everybody in the chat or listening to the replay or on the podcast, you know, if you're ever wondering how can you help people without writing checks, I mean, just going and following their accounts on social goes a long ways for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Giving a like, throwing a comment in there. You know, love interacting because I am a fan.
Yeah. So how long did you fish the Bass Nation before you, how many years have you been fishing Bass Nation?
I've probably been fishing Bass Nation since I was 18, so 12 years. I think I made 9 state teams. And been some really cool places with it. You know, been the Upper Chesapeake Bay, which was really fun. Douglas Lake in Tennessee. Only kind of ledge fishing lake I've ever fished. But I always did horrible. And I would always take them super serious. And then, the past couple of years, it was just kind of like, this is meant to be enjoyed. I would always say this, I'm never going to make a living fishing. Let's just go have fun. This is supposed to be fun. Let's just go have fun.
There's no fun in fishing, Tim.
That's the number one thing. I will make sure this year, no matter what, next 2 years, I will always have fun on the water because it's, now I am fishing for a living and there's a lot worse occupations than fishing. So
for sure.
I'm just going to take each day as it is and enjoy every day of it. And if it's 2 years and I get kicked out, well, it was a great 2 years.
That's good. I think it's a good attitude. what was I going to say? Yeah, I forget. I had a thought there. Yeah, I was going to say that, they say like the best way to ruin a golf game is to keep score. And the best way to ruin a fishing day is to fish a tournament sometimes.
Sometimes.
Right. I'm sure you have some of this up where you are, right? Like in Minnesota, we got a lot of good fishing. And like there were several times in team tournaments this year where we were catching the fire out of 2.5 to 3 pounders and but stuck on 17 pounds and you're frustrated in it, in a tournament. Like that's fun fishing. You're just like, this is awesome. We caught 40 fish and we caught a bunch of 3. You know what I mean? Like that's a good, it's great day of fishing, right? Like people would kill for that, but you put yourself in a tournament. Next thing you know, you're like, well, we know you need 18 to cash a check. Then you're like, 17 is no longer fun. Right. So it's like,
yeah, it's the same way in New Hampshire. It's our lakes are pretty chock full of smallmouth and you can get some big ones and some guys do catch big ones, but they're not very active. There's not a lot of them. And so it's, you can go catch a ton of 2.5, 2.25 pounds smallmouth and be at, you know, 13, 14 pounds and you get a thanks for showing up.
Yeah, right.
But you can go catch 50 fish, you can go catch 60 fish, but then you have to go fish for largemouth. And the entire time you're fishing for largemouth, you're going for one bite the entire time. And then if you get that one, you're like, all right, well, now I'm going for a second bite. And it's just, like you said, it's a different mindset you have to be in. But to do well, that's what you have to do.
Absolutely. Well, the Bassmaster YouTube account, if it wasn't official already, now it's official.
Now it's official.
Let's see here. So Greg said he was checking out your Facebook page and sees that you know what a snow-covered boat looks like in New Hampshire. So Colton, if you missed it, yeah, the Bass Nation. So, I mean, if you think about it, the Bass Nation starts with, I don't know if the number's right, 30, 40, 50,000 anglers nationwide, and one person makes the Bass Nation every year. So it's not just a single tournament. It's a series of local tournaments, some combination of state qualifiers, depending on where you are, and then a regional tournament and a national tournament. And the only reason he got second is because the past year's champion defended. So this is the first time that the person ever in second place got invited. Usually you have to be the one out of, you know, 40,000. So that's in a nutshell, Colton. Hope that explains it. I'm just going to say Jimmy. Because how do you practice on northern bodies of water for southern lakes? Oh, so he's like, how do you prep up north without traveling down south? Is it more technical driven or you're not worried about catching? He's from Wisconsin, so he's just wondering how you know, and that's a common thing. Like, I think you've probably ventured south in the past, and there's definitely a learning curve when you go from up north to down south. So maybe just give your thoughts on that approach. And is there anything you can do at home to prepare yourself for going south, in your opinion?
I mean, doing research on the lakes, what you should be doing that time of year is something that I always look into. I don't try and find like exact waypoints of people that post YouTube videos and like a shoreline in the background. I won't ever try and do that, but just like, all right, are they catching them on the bank? Are they catching them off the bank? Are they throwing reaction baits? Are they throwing, you know, finesse baits? And the last couple of years, I've always just said a bass is a bass is a bass. They all are opportunistic predators, and you need to put your bait in front of them for them to eat it and fish to your strengths. That's all. That's all I do is just fish how you like to fish and see if that works for you.
Bassmaster says Rich Fabian Rodriguez accepted a few years ago when Ryan Levine said no. Yeah, so I have heard where like the nation champ didn't accept and it went down. That's a very Ronnie Moore style sounding answer, the way it was typed. I don't know, just guessing. Let's see here, what else is let's get some hard-hitting questions. Grad84 says, are you keeping the stash? Is that going to be like a signature?
You have to have the stash for the tournaments.
There you go. Critical Gravy wants to know, how much does forward-facing play in your fishing style overall? Sounds like it was a fair amount days one and two at the Nation, but in general, are you a big front-facing guy?
Depends where I'm fishing. Most of the lakes in New Hampshire, you have to be, and from what you see in the tournament results, you have to be a forward-facing guy. But I do love flipping mats with a big weight.
Nice.
So that is my favorite way to fish. So if I see a mat anywhere on any body of water, I will definitely flip it. Obviously, you can't forward-face that, but I feel like you have to be forward-facing.
We might figure out a way someday.
I can look under docks pretty good, I can tell you that. But not Matt.
Rich wants to know what's your favorite lose setup combo?
I like the Hypermag baitcaster paired up with the Team Pro rod.
Nice. Well, Rich 17 says he's actually using my code at OmniF to buy a new Hypermag reel right now. So
yep. The non-slip grip, the non-slip grip handles. They're great in the rain. The wind grips.
Nice. Yeah, so for those that are curious about the Omnia code, it's down at the bottom of the screen. It's good for about 15 more days here to save you 15% at Omnia. So check that out. If you're new to the program, I think a lot of you guys already know that. If you don't get your Dick's discount still, feel free, Tim, if you need to save a little bit. You know, Omnia can help you out this year if you need something in a short.
I probably will if it doesn't work out that way, but hopefully it works out where I can keep a discount there.
Nice. So you said you liked ice fishing. Frank wants to know, what's your favorite species through the ice?
White perch, which I don't know if there's a lot of those down south. They're kind of just kind of like a mini striper.
Like a white bass.
A white bass. Okay. Yep. A white bass. They're great in fish tacos. And they school up, and I love chasing them with forward-facing sonar through the ice.
Punch Fishing wants to know, what's your favorite food chain to hit on the go?
Chipotle.
Yeah, that's a good, healthy, responsible decision, right? In the grand scheme of eating on the road, I feel like Chipotle is a pretty... Do you have, a non-healthy, weakness?
If I have a bad tournament, I'm finding the nearest McDonald's. I'm ordering a Big Mac and a large shake, and I'm eating and drinking all of my feelings as I drive away.
I like to try to save the ice cream for good tournaments as a reward versus drowning. Like, when I don't catch them, I'm like, you're eating the peanut butter sandwich you didn't eat yesterday. That's what I...
Oh, no, I'll eat my feelings, so...
Yeah. So he's not going to say it out loud, but he really wants to know if you like to throw glide baits and swim baits. I know that's not what it says, but that's what he's ultimately wants to know. Brendan wants to know whether you do you dabble with the big baits?
Oh, absolutely. I love fishing big baits. It gets the best reaction out of some of the biggest fish in the lake.
Maybe more of a glide or more of a swimmer? What's some of your favorite big baits?
I would definitely say a glide, but I also have some custom crankdowns that work pretty well up in this part of the world.
Nice.
It's exciting to see if they also catch fish down south.
Keeping those close to the vest. He knows he didn't give us details on what those custom crankdowns were. Jordan says, congrats, 603 hammer. He suggests that you should talk to Samantis.
Yeah, Samantis, Jamie. Yeah, I've talked to Jamie. Great guy.
Place as Jack in the Box tacos. I'm more of a Taco Bell kind of taco guy,
but that's also tricky when you're driving places when you get Taco Bell.
I'm pretty good at it. All right, that's a good question. So let's say non-endemic, right? Not in the industry. If you could, what would be what would be an awesome title sponsor for Tim Doobie?
I mean, I love shooting guns.
Okay.
So there's Sig Sauer. There's a Sig Sauer in New Hampshire based gun company, and I think that would be a really cool one.
Yeah, it would make sense. I think there'd be some synergies there.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to clip that, post it, and tag them, go ahead.
Because fishing and hunting hand in hand, outdoors, and be fun.
Brown wants to know if it's a Keith Thomas crankdown.
It is not. I don't know what that is, but I'm gonna look it up after this happens.
Is it Black Talon baits up by Pennsylvania that's pretty popular? Is that I don't know. When you say crankdown, it made me think of what is that company on the East Coast, but I can't think of their names, that's popular with crankdowns. It's not coming to me right now.
I mean, I can say the brand because they're super hard to get, but it's a Piz.
Okay. That wasn't the one I was thinking
if
of.
If anyone knows about it, they know how hard they are to come by.
Yeah. All right.
So not gonna say, I'm not gonna say which one, because
maybe they got a few more, a little more expensive. So
yeah, well, I think they're already going for about $1,000 a piece. So
AJ checking in. Why are you watching Nebraska basketball? Everybody knows Nebraska is a girls volleyball school. So AJ fished. He's a Bass Nation co-angler. He was there last year at Pickwick, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, from Nebraska. So
that was a tough tournament.
Yeah. Corey checking in. I think I'm mostly caught up on comments. If other people got comments, keep them coming in the chat here. I will say that I think Punch Fishing and I are going to do our annual Black Friday stream next Wednesday night. So we typically give away a bunch of tackle that we buy from Omnia, and I think we're going to do that next Wednesday night. So mark that on your calendar, next Wednesday night, 8 p.m. We're probably like covering a bunch of the Black Friday sales, the deals we're seeing. We're probably, what we typically do is we buy some mystery boxes and send them to each other, and we open them and then we give them away on stream. So typically give away a bunch of a tackle. So if you're enjoying tonight, tune in next week, and that should be good. Mike Maloney, he wants to know, like, now that you're not going to be fishing, was it Winnipesaukee?
Winnipesaukee, yeah. Calls it Winnie.
Yeah. He wants to know if you're just going to give all your secrets away since you won't be around for a couple of years.
Well, the elites end in September, and there are plenty of tournaments up here after that. So I'll see you then.
So during, like, you know, from January to September or whatever, you're going to primarily focus on the elites. You're not going to be trying to, like, jackpot Tuesday nighters at home or mixing any opens or
diving
or nothing like that.
Diving all into the elites, spending all of my time, all of my resources on that. That
makes sense.
Yeah.
You're not going to try to sneak in the Champlain Bass Nation qualifier at the end of the year?
I don't think I'll sneak into that one. I bet you that one fills up pretty quick because everyone loves fishing Champlain. It's a great lake, great fishery. Don't need to be forward facing there to catch big fish, but.
Clay wants to know, you ever take any Joni White's money up there?
No, but he's taking mine. That's for sure.
He's been on he's been pretty decent the last few years, but he's been on an absolute heater this year.
I mean, I've only fished against him like probably a couple times.
He's got something a little extra figured out this year, but
time on the water.
Yeah. Critical Gabe wants to know, is there any YouTube channels you like to watch? Do you take in a lot of YouTube or not?
Here and there, not a ton. my favorite YouTube channel is Meat Eater. I love watching Stevenella. So, as far as fishing goes, I don't watch a ton of fishing. There is 603 Bass that, he does. Yep. Real Northern Bass. Real Northern Bass. Now, right? He changed his name. Yeah. Sorry. I'm old school. But yes, I know Sean and Andrew very well.
Yeah, I think, were you on their show a couple weeks ago?
I was.
I think I caught just a few minutes of that before I went live, because they typically go a little earlier and they kind of end as I get going. And I think that's where I heard that you worked at Dick's when I just was watching for a few minutes. So
10 years there.
I'll tune in when I'm taking notes and like show prepping. I'll watch a few minutes of Real Northern Bass. So. You don't talk as funny as those guys do, though. So
I don't know what that means.
They sound like they're more from like Boston. They sound more like they get a little more of that Massachusetts sound to their
gotcha.
Their accent. I don't know.
Well, I'm only
not like heavy, but it just feels like they sound a little more Northeast. You sound more Midwest, if I had to be honest. So.
I'm only about 5 minutes from Massachusetts, so I'm glad I don't sound like I'm from Massachusetts. I appreciate that.
new episode tomorrow. I've never really gotten into the meat eaters, but what's up, Gabe? Jody definitely sounds northeast. Jody almost sounds Canadian at times, but yeah, I think we kind of, you come in late, you can't be asking these questions that we covered a long time ago, Brendan. It was Murray, right?
Murray or Champlain Fountain. Murray is probably most excited about to try something new.
Crank down on Murray.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're post-spawn.
So you said you had visited three lakes. So it was Champlain and St. Lawrence. Obviously, you said you got a decent amount of time. And what's the other lake you've been on?
Lake Fork. I went for destination one week of fun. And I caught my personal best bass there. So try and repeat that. 10-4.
There you go. How far is the drive from your house to Emory, Texas?
I think it's 26 hours. So not awesome.
I didn't realize I had so many meat eater fans in the in the chat.
It's a great show. I have to give it a watch, but
I feel like they know the answer to this question already, but they want to know what kind of boat, or share with the audience what kind of boat you were in when you caught your personal best on Lake Fork.
I was in, I think it was probably an 18-foot pontoon boat with a 20-horsepower motor and no trolling motor on it.
Okay. Was that by choice or...?
The boat rental place that was supposed to have bass boats had, aluminum boats, had two of them go down that week, and they're like, well, we can give you a pontoon boat.
Did they give you a discount at least?
It was 12 years ago, or probably longer than that now. It was a long time ago. And I don't remember. I knew I caught it out of a pontoon boat, though.
Nice. What'd you catch it on?
I caught it on a chatterbait.
Yeah, nice.
So it was a couple weeks, it was in March, so a couple weeks after.
All right. So Tyler says, if you're not comfortable, but you know, with all the felt stock, have you felt like the elite qualification is like spark some conversations and got things in the right direction?
I believe so. I will say that prior to qualifying for the elites, I had not reached out to any companies for sponsorships. So this is my first time, and I only started after the elite qualification. But I, as much as I feel like the elite qualification is a big chip of like, hey, I'm fishing the Elite Series, I feel like social media is more important than what you're fishing.
So you don't have a good baseline. You weren't exactly...
I was not prepared.
Yeah. I was guest meat eater for a sponsor. So it could be almost like Lee Livesey and Whiskey Myers, right? So you can have kind of some cross-platform type stuff going on. All right. Lauren says, are you the best angler in your club, or is there somebody else in the Northeast people should watch out for?
Oh, there's a lot of really good guys that fish up here. I can't name them all. It's
so what, for what such is a your club name then? What's your club?
The club I fish in is the Last Cast Club. But then we also have
how many members?
15. But then we also have the New Hampshire Bass Nation that typically gets about 40 to 50 boats per tournament. Mm-hmm. It's team style. We do 8 fish instead of 5. And there's just too many. There's too many good fishermen up here.
Sure. I don't know. How does the qualifier work? How do you make a regional in New Hampshire?
So we have what's
in the old system.
We have an STQT, State Team Qualifying Tournament.
So most single event?
It's a single event, 2 day, so one weekend. Sometimes it's on, we did like a three lake rotating schedule where we do Champlain, Cabo Sacante in Maine, and then Lake Winnipesaukee. And it's 2 day cumulative weight, top 10 make the state team. So it's not about winning it. It's about finishing the top 10, 10th is just as good as first. And then that it's qualifies
second
you.
Second is good as 10th. First is still better than second through 10th.
Yes. Yes. And then you win in New Hampshire. One of our previous presidents, he passed away a couple of years ago, Mike McNamara. We have a big memorial trophy for him. And that's very special to a lot of people, including myself. And when you win that trophy, you get the trophy for a year. Your name gets to be on the trophy. It's a very, very sentimental trophy in the state of New Hampshire for pretty much anyone who bass fishes. And so you're right. First is definitely the best, but then second through 10, all the same.
As a person that's missed the Minnesota State Championship three times in second place, I would just say my first is definitely be better. And like two times, it was like one was 0.08 and the other one was 0.12. Similar thing, 2 day tournament. So across 10 fish, it's like, oh God, that really grinds you.
That perch that's sitting in the live well, you're like, you just costed me.
Yeah. So that's still on my bucket list, is to win a Minnesota State qualifier, just to say that I was the state champ. I've won the TBF one, but not the Bass Nation. So how many boats do you typically get in that 2 day qualifier?
Like 55 to 60.
Okay.
So 1 in 5, 1 in 6 chance of qualifying.
Yeah. Minnesota, we're flirting with 80 to 100 pretty consistently. Yeah. Based on your affinity for guns, I'm guessing that's not probably going to work for you. Let's see, we're getting some marketing advice from Clay. People are thinking we're already, Tim Doobie's signature products at Dick's. I mean, people got all kinds of great ideas.
Yeah, this is baby steps of what we're talking, and that's like full blown running a marathon.
Yeah. You're like, I gotta make it to Toledo Bend and have some gas in the I gotta afford to drive home when I'm done.
Yeah. Good thing we only have to drive the fork, which is only, I think it's like 3.5 hours after that. So
sir.
It's just getting down there.
Yeah.
And then leaving New Hampshire in January is not usually the best time to be driving a truck and boat.
Plan for a couple extra days of travel time. Yes. You almost have to leave when you can, right? Versus when you wanted to leave.
Yep.
So you said you knew Tywebs. You ever fish with them?
Nope. I've only fished against them. Never with them.
Okay. At the Bass Nation regionals and that type of
stuff? I fished against them at the regionals. And then last November, he drove to New Hampshire and fished it's called the Silver Buddy Smackdown. It's actually coming up. It's the weekend after Thanksgiving. It's a lot of fun. It's just a tournament of hardcore guys that don't ever put their boats away, and bass are biting right now pretty good because they know winter's coming.
Yeah. Are you sneaking in a few more derbs this year, trying to pad the bank account, or are you focused on other stuff?
I only have one left. Pretty much all the tournaments end in New Hampshire in October, the second week of October. They're pretty much all over. So I missed one of the last big ones when I was down on Hartwell, which I worked out to miss it. But there's only one left after this, and that's that Silver Buddy Smackdown. This is now the second year, so it's the 2.0. And that's coming up the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, up there, though, right? Like, it's pretty dense. Like, I would imagine within 3-4 hours, you can be in other states and fish in other tournaments. Like,
So our lakes region is.
Mikey says you got to step it up. He gave you a mic, but he wants to see some more activity.
It's new to me. All right.
You can start by resharing this stream on your Facebook page. There's a content idea for you.
There we go. That's the first thing I'll do. Yeah, our lakes region, it's like an hour and a half away from my house. Champlain's 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Thousand Islands is 6 hours.
Right. Very cool.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I don't think there's any Casey's in the Northeast. It's probably more of a, you know, maybe a Wawa Hoagie or Sheetz or something like that. That would be more of the convenience stores up there to probably get sponsored by.
We don't even have Sheetz up here. We have Cumberland Farms, Cumbies.
Ah. I feel like the comments are a little off the rails tonight. Let's see. So are you more of like a power fishing guy or more of a finesse guy? Like what do you think your style overall?
That's tough. The one good thing with New Hampshire is that you have to be a finesse fisherman up here. Sure. No one who's people who haven't been up here, you know, 20 feet, you can still see the bottom. We have that much visibility in our water. So you definitely have to be a finesse fisherman, but I also love fishing Ticonderoga, power fishing, throwing a chatterbait, throwing, you know, punching milfoil. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I have a style. Whatever they're biting, the best. That's my style.
Like in a tournament, do you prefer to find green or brown up there? Like, what do you have more confidence like?
Oh, I definitely prefer to catch largemouth. Our largemouth are huge when you can catch them, but you also see a lot of them just swim away from you.
I don't know what about Bob was from Lake Winnipesaukee. I was unaware of that.
I didn't know either.
It's kind of an old movie. Might be before your time. Are you a fan of fishing kettle ponds?
I don't know where
that is. I don't know what that is either.
I don't know.
No, you're going the wrong direction. Like, asking about ice fishing is worse than asking about random stuff, Frank. Ice is for cocktails, not for fishing. We know. Come on. But I guess since
line it's choice,
I can answer it.
I just use 6 pound test typically with braid to fluoro leader. Nothing crazy. If they're getting really tough to catch, I'll go on the 4.
But you said it's a lot of panfish, and then
yeah,
is that a lot of harvesting? Fish fries, or you just like to catch them and throw them back? Or?
Oh, no. I mean, I catch them and throw them back, but usually some don't make it back down the hole.
Yeah.
I like eating them. They're tasty in the winter.
Are you guy more of a guy that likes to like set up in a shack and just sit there? Or are you like on a bucket, little tip over, flying around? You're like on a bass boat, but on the ice, like flying around, punching holes. And
four-wheeler drilling 100 holes a day, just put the live scope down, do a 360 onto the next. Because I don't have a K draw. I used to. I have a clam plate on there now, with a Striker hand auger that will fit onto that clam plate. Drills faster.
He started talking French. I stopped listening. I don't know what you're saying.
But no ice fishing this year. It's a little upsetting, but I think I'll get over it.
I can maybe go at Christmas, maybe. I don't know.
No, not typically.
Ice doesn't really start up there that early.
No, you need that first week of January, second week of January. It starts getting safe.
I mean, over here, you can definitely ice fish around Christmas. So sometimes you can ice fish around Thanksgiving here, sad as it is.
Well, you can ice fish around Christmas around here, but you're driving very far north and you're walking on 2.5-3 inches of ice, and it's just not worth it for me. Doesn't make sense.
Michael says that Sean and Andrew talk about kettle ponds.
I mean, we have a ton of little ponds, but I don't know exactly what qualifies it to be a kettle pond versus a.
I guess you'll have to ask them.
Yeah, I will. Somebody get them on here. Get some clarification.
All right. Well, I feel like we covered a fair amount here. I feel like the chat's kind of slowed down, so we'll do a kind of a last call for questions here. Pat says kettle ponds are the ponds in the Cape/South Shore.
Yeah, I typically don't go down to the Cape. You have to drive through Boston, and that traffic is like a nightmare.
Right on. Cool. Well, congratulations on your decision. I think that's pretty cool. I know I've like never been in your position. I've had good starts to Bass Nation National Championships that have got my wheels thinking, like, you know, like making me not easy to get, you know, a good night's sleep on like the second or third night and fish the final day that Maddie Wong, you know, fished. So I kind of understand, like, you start to really like, I mean, yeah, me too, Matt. I glazed over when we started talking about ice fishing too. yeah, it's a big decision. And you really think about like, what does it really mean? And can I do it? And should I do it with the risks? And so I'm excited for you. I think a lot of people in the chat are excited for you. I think you got a lot of people to be following along, watching the standings, maybe putting you on the fantasy team. So should be fun. And I guess if everybody, you know, Timothy Doobie, Instagram, Facebook, go check him out. Give him a follow. Give him a like. Yeah, everybody in the chat's pretty excited here. If you came in late, I think there's some good storytelling from the Bass Nation Championship and things like that. Rewind, whether you're on your podcast, Facebook, or YouTube replay. So any final words, Tim?
Not at all. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And thanks for all the questions from the guys watching. Looking forward to 2024, 2025.
AJ, it was determined that he feels he has more experience than most on Champlain and St. Lawrence, which probably not a shocker geographically.
Yes.
Yeah, boy did make it back on the BT roster again. We'll probably have another show on that. I don't know. I feel like never really gotten that track. Yeah, we'll probably in the future, maybe I'll do a separate video. Maybe I'll do a pop-up stream. We'll probably talk about who left the BPT, who's staying. Didn't seem to really fit in with tonight's discussion, so I've got my thoughts on that. Tim's got bigger fish to fry, things to work on. He doesn't need to worry about what other people are doing. So as always, appreciate it, Tim, coming on. And as always, here to help you guys catch more big bass and suck less.
Especially the last part.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As always, thanks to all of you that hung in till the end of this podcast. This has been another episode of Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast Experience. Please consider sharing this with any of your bassin' buddies and friends. This is the best way for podcasts to grow is through word of mouth. Also, don't forget to search Hellebass on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or just about anywhere else so that we can connect in more ways. As always, here to help you catch more bass and suck less.